Good afternoon, everybody. Glad everybody can make it out tonight. So I had an open lesson tonight. So when I was trying to figure out what I wanted to talk about, I had a game on my television in my room. And so I was watching the March Madness game. So if any of you who don't know what March Madness is, it is the college basketball playoffs. And so basically how it is divided up is there are 64 teams, four divisions, each division is 16 teams. And all of those teams are ranked from 1 to 16, 1 being the best team in that division, 16 being the worst. So, when writing this lesson, I was watching a number 9 ranked Creighton play against the number 1 ranked Kansas. And so, I don't even know who won that game, but the point of that is that the number 9 ranked Creighton, they're a much lower rating. And Kansas is a much higher rating. They're the highest rating. So you would think that with a higher rating, the better team would always win. That's how you would, I mean, sometimes stuff happens, but you would think for the most part, the better team would always win. But one thing March Madness is known for is that there are constantly being games that are upsets. The team that is ranked lower ends up beating the higher team. And so, whenever I think of this, I think this is, you consider that an underdog story. A team goes into the game being ranked lower than the other team, and then they end up coming out on top. That is an underdog story. And so tonight, that gave me the perfect little story to talk about for tonight's lesson. So I'm going to talk about one of the greatest underdog stories that we have. And our story takes place in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And tonight, we're going to talk about the story of David and Goliath. However, before we go any further, we have the opportunity to go to God in a word of prayer. Before I forget, I was watching a video yesterday, since we were talking about March Madness earlier. And it was talking about how one of the upset underdog games happened one the past week. And they were saying it was probably one of the most upsetting, one of the most powerful underdog games in history because they were just comparing the two teams. Now normally in the March Madness basketball, how I said they're ranked 1 to 16, normally the lower ranking teams, they're still, I mean, great schools. One school I can think of, Michigan, University of Michigan, they're ranked 11th, so are there a much lower rating, but I mean, still a huge school. So last week, the number 2 team was Kentucky, University of Kentucky. They're always extremely good at basketball. The number 15 seed team was St. Peter's. And so no one knows where that's at, no one knows who they are, but they were ranked 15, and they ended up beating this powerhouse school that was Kentucky. So the video was just comparing those two schools, and of course, I mean, Kentucky's budget for men's basketball was like $32 million every year. The St. Peter's is like $1 million. Kentucky's enrollment every year is like 34,000 kids every year. St. Peter's is 3,000. And then they show the stadiums. Kentucky's got a humongous stadium that can fit 25,000 people. St. Peter's gym looks like a high school gym that fits about 2,500 people. And they were just comparing the two teams. And at the end of the video, it said that St. Peter's beating Kentucky was like a true David and Goliath story. That was what it said in the video, so I just thought it was perfect fitting for tonight's lesson. Anyways, tonight we're going to talk about the story of David and Goliath. So as I said earlier, we're going to read from 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we can start there in verse 1, reading this underdog story. So in verse 1 it reads, "Now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle, and were gathered at Scohol, which belongs to Judah. They encamped between Socoh and Azekah in Ephes-Themim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah, and drew in battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath, from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span." And so I looked up what the height of 6 cubits and a span, and it was, according to Google, it said he was about 9.5 feet tall. Now, I don't know how accurate that is, because you know, I never know how accurate Google can be, but this is right there. I found this picture online. So it says the average American, I don't know how well you can see it, but it says the average American male is about 5'10". The average NBA player, so the best basketball players in the world, their average height is 6'6". And then Goliath over there is well over 9 foot, according to Google. So I just thought that was Very interesting. And I believe the average height for the person, I mean, man and woman, I think average height is 5'6 or 5'8. So, I mean, he's almost double the height of the average person. So I just thought that was incredible. Okay, getting back to where we left off. So continuing on verse 5. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight on the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armor on his legs, and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and a shield bearer went before him. Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel, and said to them, Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And you are the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves, and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. So in this great battle with the Philistines, they send out this, I mean, tremendous warrior. He's giant, he's huge. And, I mean, I would imagine every person on the side of Israel was just completely terrified. I like to think I'm tall, I'm 6'3", 6'4", technically. But, I mean, the Goliath would tower over me. I can't imagine what it would be like to see him out on the battlefield. And so I looked... we ran out of ink at my house with the printer, so I'm having to use this iPad, and I'm not totally accustomed to it just yet. There we go. Okay. So, in this great battle, Goliath comes out and proposes that someone fight him, mano y mano, man to man. So that, I like to think it's because that, in that way, it lowers the numbers of casualties. If one man can fight against another man, and that can decide who wins the battle, that's a much better outcome than thousands of people fighting against each other where not very many would come out of that battle alive. So, Goliath asked someone to come out and fight him. And in doing so, he then continues to defy the children of Israel and God. So we can continue on in verse 10. Oh, there's my picture again. Okay. And in verse 10, And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all of Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now here's where we're introduced to the underdog in this story. Now David was a son of that Ephraimite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and who had 8 sons. And the man was old, advanced in years in the days of Saul. The 3 oldest sons of Jesse had gone to follow Saul into the battle. The names of his 3 sons who went into the battle were Eliab the firstborn, next to him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shema. And David was the youngest. And the 3 oldest sons followed Saul. But David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. So we are introduced to the family of and brothers of David. And while they are warriors and fighters, David is really not that kind of person. He herds the sheep. He takes care of the sheep at the family home. And so I think that's one of the most interesting points in this story. When you look at David compared to Goliath, obviously David is much smaller. But, I mean, Goliath outweighs and out-prevails David in just about every single category. He's got on height, strength, speed, agility, combat skills. I mean, he just, outweighs David in every single category. However, the one thing that David had an edge on Goliath is that David had faith in God. And his faith in God is what allowed him to eventually become the underdog in this story. So we can continue on in verse 16. And the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and night. Every day, for 40 days, morning and night, he would go out and call out to the children of Israel, just wanting, begging someone to come fight him, someone come combat with him, so this fight could be settled. But then continuing on in verse 17. Then Jesse said to his son David, Take now for your brothers an ephah of this dried grain and these 10 loaves, and run to your brothers at the camp, and carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their 1,000, and see how your brothers fare, and bring back news of them. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with the keeper, and took the things, and went in as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to fight and shouting for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in a battle array, army against army. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, and came and greeted his brothers. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines. And he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter, and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel." Now at this point, I think this is the interesting point, because at this point, we've already known all the children of Israel. King Saul, every single person on that battlefield was terrified of Goliath. But at this point, they're just getting desperate, I think, because when a reward is that great for killing one man, you know that's a very impossible task to do. And as I said earlier, Goliath has been terrorizing the children of Israel for the past 40 days, morning and night, coming out, and as I said earlier, portraying his same words that he said the first time, where if someone can come out and kill him, the Philistines will be servants to the children of Israel. However, if he kills the man who comes to fight him, they will have to be servants to the Philistines. So if anybody is willing to fight Goliath, and they're able to defeat him, they will be greatly rewarded with riches, the king's daughter, and the important one at that time was an exemption from taxes. So continuing on in verses 26. Then David spoke to the man who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him in this manner, saying, "So shall it be done for the man who kills him." Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the man, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David. And he said, "Why did you come down here? And with whom have you left these few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle." And David said, "What have I done now? Is there not a cause?" Then he turned from him toward another and said the same thing, and these people answered him as the first ones did. Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And this just, I think this point in the story just shows David's true faith in God and his fearlessness and braveness. Not wanting anybody else to be killed in this battle or have to lose their life trying to fight Goliath, David tells Saul that he will be the one that will go fight this Philistine Goliath. He will be willing to make the sacrifice to go fight this great warrior. However, as Paul probably noticed at the time, sending out a probably younger, scrawny dude to fight this great warrior, I mean, he's a sheep herder against one of the greatest warriors in the land at that time. That doesn't sound like the greatest plan to Paul. And, I mean, if I was in his shoes, it probably wouldn't sound like the greatest plan to me either. However, David is able to convince Saul to let him fight Goliath by telling him the dangers of herding sheep. And so growing up, this was always my favorite part of the story. You know, the whole fight against Goliath with the stones, that's all cool, but this part right here was always my favorite part. So continuing on, verse 33. "You were not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, 'Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and I struck it, and delivering the lamb from its mouth, and when it rose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing that he has defied the armies of the living God.' Moreover, David said, 'The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine.'" So that was always my favorite part, hearing how David was able to defeat a lion and a bear. That sounds awesome. That sounds cool to me. And so, continuing on, so Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." And so after hearing these things, these stories from David about what the dangers of sheep herding, Saul realizes David's fearlessness, and he also sees his complete faith in God. However, there was one slight problem. David was no warrior. He was a sheep herder. And as mentioned earlier, he was young. He was a young boy. He wasn't fully grown. He wasn't overly strong. And so, when Saul tried to give David some armor to wear in this battle against this great warrior, I mean, it says he couldn't wear it because he had not tested it out yet. He'd never done something like that. He didn't know how to work it. He couldn't, put it on. He could barely walk, let alone fight a great battle against this warrior. So David decided to go without the protective armor. And instead, all he carried with him into this battle was his staff, 5 smooth stones, and his sling. So, skipping on down to verse 40, we can read about the actual battle that took place. So, verse 40 reads, "Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, and put them in his shepherd's bag, in the pouch which he had, and his sling in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So the Philistine said to David, 'Am I a dog that you have come to me with sticks?' And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, 'Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field.'" And I can only imagine what's going on in Goliath's mind when he's the best warrior in the land and he's telling somebody, just one person, to come out and fight him, and they send a little kid, basically. And it's not like he's got a big old sword on his back or a spear. I mean, he's got a little wooden staff and a slingshot. I mean, to Goliath, this is probably hilarious, and it's probably like a little rude, thinking his children of Israel thinking so low of him in his mind. That's probably what he's thinking. But then, in verses 45, "Then David said to the Philistine, 'You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands.'" So, when this great battle is about to begin, Goliath just mocks David, and he mocks God. To which David responds that, "You mocked my God, and you think you're so great and so powerful, but in truth, the truth of the matter is God is the most powerful person here in this battle, and he will take care of the children of Israel." So, continuing on, verse 48. "So it was, when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. So therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took out his own sword, and drew it out of its sheath, and killed him, and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled." So not only did David defeat this mighty warrior, but he did it with one single smooth stone. One single smooth stone in faith in God. That's all he used to defeat this mighty warrior that was Goliath. This young, scrawny guy that was a sheep herder, not a warrior, not a fighter, but a sheep herder, was able to defeat one of the greatest warriors in the land. I don't know of a better underdog story, and one that just shows what happens when you have complete faith in God better than this story. David knew before the battle, as I said earlier, he was outmatched in every single category. Goliath was bigger, faster, stronger, quicker, more agile, better in combat, better with the sword, He was outmatched in every single aspect except one. David outmatched Goliath greatly in his faith in God. And that was what allowed him to win this great victory over this amazing warrior. Anyways, that's all I have for this evening. I thought that this was one of my favorite stories in the Bible. And with March Madness going on currently, I thought this was a perfect time to talk about one of the greatest underdog stories that we have. But now we can stand and sing the song of invitation.